27th, Lieutenant Governor of the Province of British Columbia, the Honorable Iona Campagnolo. Good morning, Your Honor.
Oh, good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Will you miss being Lieutenant Governor?
Well, I've undertaken so many posts in my life and transitioned in and out of them. I have the satisfaction of knowing that these last 6 years have been completed as well as I could do them, and so as I leave with a sense of accomplishment, but also sadness at leaving the people, because it is they who make the office what it is.
Was it hard to get used to all the pomp and the pageantry of it all, the wearing of the Windsor outfit and inspecting honor guards and so on?
Well, you know, one of my old friends, you might know him, Craig Oliver at CTV.
Right.
We grew up in radio together in Prince Rupert. He was with the CBC and I was with the private in those days. But he said it's almost as if you've been preparing for this your whole life, because my many previous offices had something of the same. You know, I was the first chancellor of the University of the North, much pomp and protocol there. I was a minister of the crown, and all those things assisted me when I took this post. So I didn't wear the Windsor uniform, by the way.
You designed your own, correct?
That's right, but the Windsor uniform had been actually retired by Dr. Lamb during his term. He wrote in his memoir that one of the worst things about being LG of BC was wearing that jacket, because it weighs 40 pounds, and in my estimation, it spoke of another time. That's the uniform that would have been worn by Queen Victoria's ministers, for example. It was covered in palm fronds, and I know Oak Bay has a lot of palms, but British Columbia is not noted for its palms. And so when I designed my own, I tried to make it one that would give a rather a quick impression of who we are as British Columbians. So there were dogwoods representing all of us. There were my two Aboriginal name symbols. And instead of palm fronds, I had cedar.
Right. Would there be, I don't know how to ask this, was there a downside to being Lieutenant Governor?
Well, you have to keep your partisan opinions out of the mix. You really can't have too many public opinions on issues, but I didn't find that an impediment. I still spoke to my basic philosophy of inclusion and justice and all the things I had fought for over my life, feminism and so on, but I hope I did it in a way that was not in any sense negative to the office, because this is a very interesting office. It's not an office of government per se, because when the Fathers of Confederation put Canada together, they separated government from state. So this office is the office of state, representing everyone. And I know I've had the odd person come and say, well, why do you still do those archaic things like opening the legislature or giving royal assent to bills? And one of the reasons that continues is to remind our legislators that they are responsible to the whole polity and not only just to their partisan supporters. And I think it's a good thing to keep that reminder in front of us, but also it's a symbol of the crown. Her Majesty has often said, the crown is not a person, the crown is a symbol. And it's a symbol of the rule of law under which we choose to live together as a people.
There's obviously no book that says this is how to do this job. Did you learn a lot from people like the Queen, from Governors General, your predecessors perhaps?
In a sense, there is a book. It's called The Maple Leaf Crown, and it's an excellent piece of work. But long ago, when the Constitution was patriated, the then Prime Minister said that these posts, Lieutenant Governors and Territorial Commissioners and the Governor General, would have to be supported with a proper salary, because up until that time they were generally allocated to someone of private means who could subsidize the office with their own funds. And he said that unless we Canadianize these institutions, they will be lost, and they're valuable to our society. So that was why they became a properly paid post, and so that they could also be represented by people from all walks of life. And certainly I, as the first woman in nearly 140 years, was a different kind of LG.
Madam Clarkson was known for nipping out of Redo Hall and going to the movies during the day. Are you able to do things like that?
I didn't do that. Generally, I cleave to my computer. If I want to watch a movie, I put it on my Mac.
Right, right.
But, no. And I had a very full schedule. And also, I wrote all my own speeches personally, so in any spare time I had, I was usually researching whatever group I was going to speak to so that I could say something to them that was relevant to their particular organization or processes. And it meant also a great deal of historic reading so that I was fully informed on, for example, our military history here in British Columbia, our cultural history, social, economic, and so on. So it's a lot of work.
The relationship with the military, I want to touch on that. The Governor General is, of course, the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. Mm-hmm. What role do you play in the relationship with the military?
Well, I looked upon my post as being responsible to the British Columbia-based forces. So here we have 19-wing COMAX, which is Pacific Air Force. We have the Esquimalt, the oldest service, the Navy, MARPAC, and we have 6 land regiments, and they have all of their service, artillery, engineering, and medical battalions attached. So I took it upon myself to learn all their histories and to attend at least one mess dinner for each, and sometimes more. And you recall I came in just 2 weeks after 9/11 in 2001, and my first duty with the military was to send off the HMCS Vancouver into the Arabian Sea for unknown duties at the time. Nobody really knew what the situation was. There was a great deal of fear and concern. Was this going to be war? Was this? And on that particular day, I met a woman on the dock saying goodbye to her grandson. She'd been on the same dock in 1940 saying goodbye to her husband, who had been gone for 5 years. Then she said goodbye to her grandson to the Korean War, and that day for this. And it was extremely touching to think about that family's involvement. And I spent a lot of time with the military, with the veterans, and I was honorary colonel of 19-wing COMAX, the Air Force. So it was one of the highlights of my term.
And just thinking of that and that woman you met, you must have met a great number of interesting, fascinating people, not necessarily all important or office holders, but yes, regular British Columbians.
Oh, yes. And you have to remember that I had been doing this kind of thing for a good 35 years since I was a member of Parliament and so on in the past. And I knew the province very well, and I determined when I came in as Lieutenant Governor that I would pay no difference to whether a town was large or small when I went to it, because I had always thought of them as equal in British Columbia's story. So I tried to visit as many communities as I could, and there, in each one, to go to the hospitals, the schools, the senior citizens, the legions, and in essence, try to greet and be part with those citizens who make the province what it is, and many of the awards and rewards and acknowledgements and so on that this office does are of the many volunteers. I always say that if the volunteers in this province were to stop for just half a day, the province would grind to a halt.
Despite your previous public careers, meeting British Columbians, traveling the province, do you think you've learned anything new about BC, about British Columbians?
Well, there are things now that we didn't have to face then. For example, the pine beetle desecration of all of our forests in the north and central part, the terrible forest fires, the obvious linkage to climate change. There are many, many challenges today that are different, but the same spirit goes with them as has always been here. And another thing, I have seen a great deal of goodwill being put forward for the reconciliation of the First Nations into the mainstream of society, and that's why I'm so pleased that my successor is Stephen Point, one of the outstanding leaders of the First Nations in this province.
About understanding the office, others, including Dr. McWhinney, whom I'm sure you've read.
Oh, yes, one of my constitutional advisors.
Yeah, he wrote a book about the Governor General, mm-hmm. and he said that the office holder was still a prerogative of the lieutenant governor?
It could be, but as I interpret that, and I think Professor McQuinney did also, intervention would be seen as a impediment to democracy, because if a society chooses a certain government and that government takes a certain direction, that's the democratic decision, and if they wish to change it, then they change the government. But a lieutenant governor does not do that in today's society, although historically in British Columbia we had one who fired three premiers before he was fired.
I guess I wonder, because in the Constitution it says that the lieutenant governor is sort of the break.
Yes, that's right. And in British Columbia, we've had two instances of that. Of course, during my term of office, I met with the Premier on a regular basis, and that is the same as happens between the Prime Minister and the Governor General, or the Territorial Commissioners and the Premiers of the territories. That's a state function. And I think that as it was used in the past, for example, when a Premier was discredited in British Columbia, say 20 years ago, the then lieutenant governor was the one who took the actions that kept the democratic process going. The first order of business of every lieutenant governor is to maintain and sustain the democratic process.
In terms of your legacy, there's this wonderful book that came out this spring about Government House.
Yes.
And you played a role in bringing that to print. Did you find that the greater access to Government House has happened over your 6 years?
That is certainly what I have attempted to undertake in all ways, in the grounds, in extending the public's access to the woodlands, for example, which are, thanks to many volunteers, the woodlanders we call them, they have pretty well brought that whole area back to native British Columbia pre-contact vegetation. And that's a marvelous thing for people to see what the land once looked like before all the broom and the English ivy and other things took over. Yes, I have done that deliberately. Now, that book was created because what I wanted to do was mark the 50 years since this house, this present house, has been in operation. And next year is the 150th anniversary of the declaration of the province, well, of the colony of British Columbia. So I wanted the new LG to have to hand a gift that could be given to visiting ambassadors and heads of state and all those who are going to come during the 2008 to 2010 period into our province. Also, I wanted to pay tribute to the fact that when this house burned down in 1957, the then Premier, W.A.C. Bennett, was supposed to have said, rebuild it and don't tell me what it cost. And I asked Grace McCarthy if that was true, and she confirmed it was true. And the house is a pride of one of the best houses in the country, if not the best. And it's a great tribute to our province that we have it and that it's used so regularly. You know, I did 340 to 350 events a year, half of them out in the province and half of them in the house. And most of my time was spent trying to bring the house out to the province and bring the province into the house in various ways. And I think it has helped. And you'll notice I changed the name of the house when I came in. It used to be called the official residence of the Lieutenant Governor. I changed its name to the ceremonial home of all British Columbians. And that is in keeping with the philosophy of access.
And people can go to your website and the Government House website and,
yes,
and see the photos and so on, and also see when they can come in for tours.
Yes, that's right. And every speech I made is up on that website. I was the first, I think, the first computer literate LG. I'm not sure, but I think I was. And so the website started with my term. And now we're just getting ready to clear it next Saturday the 15th, and it will be readying for the next, the 28th Lieutenant Governor, Stephen Point.
Do you have special advice that you give him, of course, that you're willing to share?
Well, we spent quite a lot of time together, mostly on the phone, and also last Friday we had lunch with he and his wife Gwen and myself, and I've known him over the years. I know his mother and his family, and so we can speak very easily with each other. And of course, I'm very pleased that he's one of those extremely eloquent people who will be able to put British Columbia into the context of our time. And so in addition to giving him the usual advice about being a symbol of the crown and representing, you know, there are those people who say we don't need a monarchy, etc. Well, we do need a constitution, and we do need a rule of law, and the crown symbolizes that. So I talked to him about that, and then we all had a good walk around the entire estate so I could point out all the work of the 400 volunteers. 265 of them are gardeners, 22 ornamental gardens that are kept up in a voluntary fashion, and showed him the 1871 historic buildings that are on the site. I managed to get some of that done and get the whole place declared a national historic site so that it's now safe from anyone wanting to carve little bits of it off or whatever, but it'll be up to him to try to get the inside of those buildings brought up to historic standards, heritage standards, and we talked about all those kinds of challenges ahead.
And for people like myself, citizens, tourists even, they can go to Government House all year round, can they?
Sun up to sundown, every day of the year, with the exception of when they have some sort of state visitor and the security closes the gates. But the gates close at sundown, and they open with the first light in the morning. And everyone can go there and have, I've seen everyone in every kind of situation. There are picnics, children, people mourning, people praying. I was able to work on a certain section of the garden and built six little gardens, and many times I encountered people there, and we could discuss things, and some of them didn't know that I was the LG, of course, when I was all in my grubby gardening clothes. I remember one American couple one day coming to chat with me, and they were lovely, and then they asked me, where are the guards? And I said, oh, I think she's inside today.
May I ask, ma'am, of your future plans?
Well, I'm looking back at the NGOs with which I've worked in the past, mainly environmental and some human rights. I'll see. I will continue to be useful in some way. I'm too old in this work to stop, and I'm certainly not the retiring type.
And you'll be living in Victoria, or will
no,
you be...
No, Comox Valley.
Comox Valley.
That's where my elder daughter and her family are, and her husband and all, and so they're nearby. They've taken care of my house while I've been away, and now I'm just in the business of reconstructing my life.
So you did live at Government House every day for the last 6 years, did you?
Well, when I was there, yes, when I was working there, but you remember half the time you're on the road.
Right.
And so I would be home like every other weekend or something for a day or so. But now I'll be home more often, get my wretched garden in shape after all these years of neglect. Wasn't just Government House, it was all the other things that I've done too, like Fraser Basin and the University of the North and so on. But yes, and so I'll be ready to keep on going.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you back in civilian life, I suppose, ma'am. And
that's right. Well, you know, the new lieutenant governor has an advantage over me. He doesn't have to get used to being called Your Honor.
Right.
As a judge.
Ma'am, I do want to thank you for your time today, and thank you for your service, and best wishes for your future endeavors.
Well, thank you, and good luck on your .com radio site.
Thanks very much, ma'am.